singing to be our preaching, right? It is our prayer that we raise up before God, and what a wonderful prayer that was. On this All Saints Day, where today we focus our attention on our epistle reading from 1 John chapter 3. You may be seated. As you know, it's All Saints Day today, at least our observance of it. All Saints Day falls on November 1st, but we always observe it on the closest Sunday to that, into November. And it's a day where we in the Christian church, where we as Christians often have mixed feelings. While it's a time to remember those who have died in the faith, especially those who have died this past year, it's also for us a time to rejoice in all the saints who have gone before us and are now enjoying their eternal rest. So it's a day that should bring great comfort to all of us. All of us who have lost loved ones, because what the world sees as loss, we see as a transition, a leaving behind of the troubles of this world and an embracing of the fact that we have the promised hope that death has already been emptied of its power. We have hope, and that hope is in the one who did what it took to make us God's children, as John tells us in his epistle. Our hope, therefore, is in Jesus. Yet this hope that we have is always under attack by worldly, sinful, and devilish lies. It's not hard for us to see where the world attacks this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Even at the time that John was writing this epistle, the church was under attack from both Jewish and Gentile religions. Many of the apostles had already been martyred for the faith to which they held so strongly. And we don't really have to look all that far today to see the threat of this same type of persecution to our church today. And it's not just places where Christianity has been outlawed or where Christianity is met with violent opposition. Even here in our United States, anti-Christian rhetoric and sentiment is abundant. And because of all that, it's really not that hard to imagine a future where it's going to become tougher and tougher for us as Christians to stand up and proclaim the truth. Where it might even become tougher for us to be able to gather in a place like this. It's really not that hard to imagine. And if you can't imagine it, you need to look around a little bit and see what's happening in our world. And I'd invite you to consider all of that too as you go to vote this week. And when you do that, ask yourself one simple question. And that's whether one side or the other is going to strengthen or if they're going to weaken your freedom to practice the faith that you have received and the faith that you desire to pass on to your children and to your grandchildren. If you don't ask any other question as you go into the voting booth this week, ask that one and see whether or not that helps you to make a decision. But besides the possibility of this open persecution, it's clear that the world around us has eroded confidence in the truth of Scripture and its application to our lives. There was a recent Gallup poll which tells us that 20% of Americans, one out of every five, now say that the Bible is the literal Word of God. That's a tiny number. Only one out of every five people in the United States agrees with the statement that the Bible is the literal word of God. But even more than that, over 30% of Americans say that the Bible is, quote, a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Does that depress you? It depresses me incredibly to believe that almost one in three people here in our United States of America believe that the Bible is just a book of fables. And only one in five believe that it's the literal word of God. It is very depressing. And it certainly can color our hope that we have toward the world around us, and perhaps even towards the promises of God. But the truth is that it's the father of all lies. It's the devil himself that's constantly attacking this hope that we have in Christ. He's constantly reminding us of our sinfulness, trying to get us to believe that what we have done does not have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And what he's really trying to do is lead us toward the path that draws us away from that one true source of all of our hope. The primary weapons in the devil's arsenal are the lies that separate us from the promises of God. The lies that lead us to despair. Lies like that question that he posed to Eve. Did God really say? Think about all the ways that you've been led astray in your life. And think about whether or not at those times you weren't also listening to that singular lie of the devil. Did God really say? Is it really that bad? You know what? God really did say. And he meant it. Because he knows far better than we do what's best for us. So don't let this world or your sinful condition or all those lies that the devil wants you to believe cause you to lose hope in the promises you have in Christ Jesus. Because the truth is, as John says, you should be called children of God. And so you are. Yet like all children, we have weaknesses. We have spiritual weaknesses. Weaknesses that we too often don't want to share with others. Questions that creep into our minds. Questions like, why do I struggle so much while others seem to be doing so well? If I have these doubts, am I really actually a child of God? The problem is that that kind of thinking really only isolates us. Which is exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to separate people from the herd, or from the flock, as it were, so that he could pick us off one by one. Don't let him do it. Instead of looking internally for that hope, we need to look to the truth of who we are in Jesus. Because the only hope that's guaranteed is the hope that sees what's been done completely outside of ourselves. Our hope is in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Only eyes that have been made clear by faith can see that. And these are the eyes that can see what John is talking about when he says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." Eyes of faith that are no longer clouded by the world, by our sinful selves, by the lies of the devil. Eyes that recognize that even when things go bad, even when enemies attack us, even when we're overwhelmed, none of that means that we're no longer children of God. In fact, these are all of the things that Jesus tells his followers that we're going to face. Jesus faced all of it and much more. We, his children, shouldn't expect any less. As we heard in our gospel reading from Matthew, not Mark, as we heard in that gospel reading, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who face all of the things that the world will throw at us because we are followers of Jesus. Jesus says, when you endure all of these things, you are going to receive the blessings that I desire to shower upon you. A wonderful promise that is. But we, God's children, shouldn't expect any less than that persecution, than that reviling, than all the things that the world will throw at us. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The devil doesn't attack those who are already his. He goes after those who he doesn't yet have a hold of. That's us. And he's going to fight hard. But even in the midst of all of this, we're reminded of the kind of love that our Father has given to us. A love that continually reminds us that we're his children. A love that gives us hope. And not just hope for today, but hope for the promised future that we have in Christ. Because one day Jesus is going to appear again in all his glory, coming back from heaven for all of us to see. And although the details of that day haven't been fully revealed to us, what we do know is that on that day our bodies are going to be raised along with the bodies of all the saints that have gone before us. All our loved ones who have died in Christ. And our bodies will be glorified like his glorious body, to live together with him forever. That's the hope in the resurrection that we have, not just for ourselves, but for the saints that have gone before us and all who will come after us. With all these things in this world of which we can't be certain, this is the truth. This is the certainty on which we can stand. Because Christ was raised from the dead, so too will we who believe in him be raised from the dead also. So too will Joan, who we'll remember today. So too will all of faith, for whom you all have mourned. So too will each and every saint who has gone before us. And while John tells us, beloved, we are God's children now, he also tells us that what we will be has not yet appeared. Living in faith today and being God's children in this world is great. I hope that you all enjoy your life as Christians, enjoying all the blessings that God showers down on us. It's wonderful, but it's nothing compared to what God has in store for us for eternity. In this we trust, and in this we find our true hope. One of the first adventurers out on the mighty oceans who sailed around Africa was the Portuguese explorer Bartholomew Dias. Maybe you know that name, maybe you don't. In 1488, he went around the southern tip of the continent of Africa in a very stormy sea. And he made it around that cape, but his ship barely held together. And so after he got around there, he named that cape the Cape of Storms. Later on, when he got back to Portugal, he reported to King John II what he had experienced, especially what he experienced around that cape at the southern tip of Africa. And King John II saw it a little differently. He saw that pathway as the way to the jewels and the treasures of India. And so instead of using the name that Diaz had for that cape, the Cape of Storms, he renamed it. He renamed it the Cape of Good Hope. You can call this life a life of storms, and it certainly is. We endure them all the time. But if you can see the glorious redemption of eternity that's ahead of you, the promise that God has given, you can call it what it is only in Christ. It's a life of good hope. And it's a life of good hope because we rejoice that one day we shall all gather before the throne of God. And we hear about that gathering of the saints around the throne of God in our reading from Revelation today. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. As you go forth today, know that our salvation, our forgiveness, and our hope are built on this promise. This promise of the resurrection that will never fail us. For our hope is in Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.